Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porath here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road coming back into the studio in style that you can check out live on our Periscope feed, our YouTube feed, and on Twitch as well. Rex Road looking fly today. Titans training camp underway today officially. It's going to be a good day here on Robbie and Rex Road. We got taking your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Going to have Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic join us later this hour at 7:30 to get into the craziness that is college athletics right now. And Texas and Oklahoma appear to be joining the SEC as well. So we'll get to all that coming up later with Nicole. But, Joe, we've spent the last few days talking about Texas and Oklahoma and what this means for the SEC. But now my attention kind of shifts to, what does this say about the rest of the conferences? Big Ten, the Pac-12, the ACC, and how do they respond to this? Because, as you've pointed out, this is going to mean a lot of money for the SEC if Texas and Oklahoma are officially made a part of the league. And there was speculation last night that maybe even as soon as next year this could get done, and that Texas and Oklahoma could be playing in the SEC as soon as next football season, which, I mean, the more you kind of look at this and the more that things are playing out publicly, I think the more that makes sense to me. I would be, at this point, surprised if Texas and Oklahoma are not a part of the SEC as soon as next year. So it seems that like that's the way it's going and that's what it's going to be like. How do you respond to that if you're the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the ACC? And Andy Staples at The Athletic is throwing out an interesting idea as well. Then maybe the Big Ten should look at other conferences as they currently stand and think about maybe intervening on their own. What do you think of that? Of maybe the Big Ten taking charge and maybe bringing some teams over from the Pac-12 and going that route if you're the Big Ten?
Well, we talked about that yesterday, and Staples did as well here, the idea of, okay, so you're the Big Ten now. Oh, well, we got to go to 16, so what schools are we adding just to get us to 16? So now we can split this money up 16 ways instead of 14 ways. You know, why? Why is that necessary? And Staples, I like the way Staples throws this out there. Basically, like, some people are going to think like that, and then there are people who actually use their imaginations and try to just don't let that be bound by convention or what people think you should do. And he's got a really intriguing idea here. I mean, it's stupid to think of the Big Ten with teams in, on the West Coast. But again, I mean, we've blown geography out of the water, right? So he's got this idea of the Big Ten going to 20. And
so right past 16, just going
right,
to 20.
Making it a cool 20. A Big Ten, and I'm sure you could do the logo. You'd have like a little 2. You know, when they added Penn State, they had, if you go back and look at their logo when they added Penn State in like whatever that was, 1993 or whatever, when people were like, what are you doing? College athletics, what?
Little did they know.
Yeah. Jim Delaney, evil genius. But they had the Big Ten, but then the logo, it looked like an 11. Like there was an 11 in the logo.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's Googleable.
I've seen it.
Yeah. You know, but for people out there who haven't seen it, it might be a fun Google for you. So Big Ten, now you make the one have a little 2 or something. I don't know. But I'm sure they'd still call it the Big Ten. They could call it like the Rose Bowl League or something.
Yeah, how many teams do you have to get to before the Big Ten gets renamed, right?
Obviously, there's no number.
Apparently not.
Whatever. I mean, again, if the Big 12 can have 10, then we don't care about the numbers anymore. And the funny thing about that is, like, the Big 12, what, was created in 1996?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Big 10, at least, has, like, been around for a century plus. So I get, like, the brand devotion. But
we've determined we don't care about geography or numbers in college football.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Reason, logic, convenience, fans, et cetera, et cetera. Don't care. But this is an interesting idea because, I mean, and obviously markets are big. Now, it's not like the TV market thing. We've talked about that a lot. But still, if you have big markets, you have big TV markets, that still helps you. And if you went and got the LA schools, he throws out Oregon, Washington. And then, you know, and this is very true from a Big Ten perspective. They still have this, we have a certain, you know, academic level of that we expect in the Big Ten. You know, you have to be an AAU member, which Nebraska was, but then Nebraska got kicked out of the AAU. And I honestly can't even tell you anything about the AAU other than it's just a group of universities that think they're awesome.
Yeah.
And, so you have to be an AAU member. But, of course, if the Big Ten could throw in Cal and Stanford to elite academic institutions, there'd probably be at least some of the presidents sort of saying, okay, I feel all right about this now. Now I feel a little bit better about USC Rutgers volleyball on a Tuesday night. That sounds good.
It's going to be great. Looking forward to that.
I mean, I would just, in all seriousness, if something like this were to happen, I mean, I think you'd have to go true east-west and just
right
have a conference tournament on a lot of these sports is the only time a lot of these teams see each other, which is stupid. But what is this right now? All this is CEOs out grabbing land,
yeah.
Right? Grabbing territory, grabbing money.
Well, and look. Things are going to change. Like, there are going to be more teams switching conferences, jumping ship to other conferences. Like, Nicole Auerbach, who we're going to have on at 7:30 today here on the show, has just on Twitter, like, literally a minute ago, put out a statement from West Virginia that is on their website. And, you know, in the first part of it, it talks about, you know, the Big 12 and being disappointed that a couple of institutions are not extending their media rights beyond 2025. And then the rest of the statement by West Virginia is basically just pointing out how great they are. And as Nicole points out on Twitter, it feels a lot like a job applicant sending along a copy of their resume. I mean, West Virginia, without saying it in this piece here, is pretty much saying, yeah, we're done with the Big 12. ACC, Big 10, whoever wants us, we're available. Like, so it's going to continue to change and evolve. And look, Big 12 schools are going to be a part of that. I would not be surprised, as you've pointed out, that the Big 12 is probably going to be a thing of the past here very shortly with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. So I think you've got to respond to it in some way, especially if you're a league like the Big 10. But to your point yesterday, I think adding people just for the sake of adding people is a mistake. You've got to make sure that the brands that you're bringing in help your bottom line. That's what at the end of the day it's about. I don't know that West Virginia is kind of like right on the edge. Are they a team that makes a school that makes that much of a difference in the bottom line if you're the Big Ten? Probably not.
No, I don't think West Virginia and the Big Ten is going to have any traction. West Virginia and the ACC, I mean, golly, if you could have something that makes geographical sense. I know it's way down the list of things you give a crap about, but maybe just think about it. I think Nicole's exactly right. West Virginia is campaigning to the ACC, please take us, and maybe they will. But again, here's another question with this whole thing is, okay, so the SEC is going to be the best, period. They're going to have the best football conference. They're going to have the most money long term for the Big Ten. If schools are getting a $70 million check year after year in the SEC, and your Big Ten schools are getting a $58 million check, does it really matter? I mean, other than just the fact that SEC can wave their foam finger in your face? Like,
it's still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. But, I mean, the big programs, I mean, that's the split, right? That's the cut from the TV deals,
right,
or the distribution deals, media deals, the bowls, the postseason stuff. That's all. That's what that is. That's a pool of those things that everyone's going to split equally. But, I mean, if you're Ohio State, you still also have your own revenue streams, you know, that are massive. Texas is still number one, last I saw, in revenue, even though the Big 12 is not. And we know they have their own network. But if you're one of the power programs in the Big Ten, is it that big of a deal that the SEC has $10 million more a year to its schools?
Probably not.
My doubts.
But do they view it that way? It's one thing athletically, because I agree. I don't think it's a big deal. But, like, as you've pointed out, these decisions are coming from university presidents and Maybe it is viewed that way. That's a lot of money.
Like Ohio State is, they're going to be fine. Ohio State's going to be in the playoff, and they're going to be competing for national championships and recruiting the best players and have the best facilities.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, again, like this is where I do feel like on the lower end of these leagues, that's where, and this is what you're going to campaign with these teams that are never going to come close to winning a championship, but like, okay, yes, there's seven teams that'll always be better than you in this league, but you can exceed similar profile programs in other leagues for whatever that's worth. Recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, just having money, that's great. I mean, everybody's getting rich. That's great. I mean, again, the whole thing, each day I wake up and I'm like, I feel ickier about it, but it's happening. You may as well embrace it. It
absolutely is happening. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to an interesting idea that Jay Billis has thrown out there about maybe an additional step for the SEC as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Blue Raider Blitz is rolling across the mid-state to a town near you, led by Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders football head coach Rick Stockstill. This community-wide event will be guaranteed fun for the whole family. Each of the stops will include food, ticket giveaways, and a chance to mix and mingle with MTSU coaching staffs and Lightning as well. Tomorrow's stops include Puckett's in Columbia from noon to 1:30 and Lee Victory Park in Smyrna from 6 to 8 p.m. For more information on where you can attend, head to goblueraiders.com/tour. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic joining us at 7:30. So we'll continue the conversation on Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12, coming to the SEC with her coming up at 7:30. But Joe, I want to play a piece of audio that Jay Billis has come out with from ESPN. We've talked a lot about the SEC, maybe what the trickle-down effect could be on leagues like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and how they respond to this. But Jay Billis threw out an interesting idea that also involves continued expansion for the SEC as well. Here's what Jay Billis from ESPN had to say.
If you're in this business now, you're going to have to start thinking bigger. Greg Sankey and the SEC are certainly doing that. If I were commissioner of the ACC, one thing I'd be thinking about is approaching the SEC and saying, look at all the natural rivalries we have, interconference. Why don't we start thinking about a merger? And because that's what the SEC is going to become. It's going to become the NFL, a junior NFL and junior NBA. And there's no reason why the ACC shouldn't jump in there and take advantage of those natural rivalries and markets. And if I were Jim Phillips, I'd be ringing Greg Sankey's phone saying, how about a merger?
So what do you think of that idea that Jay Billis from ESPN has thrown out of? Maybe if you're the ACC, picking up the phone, calling the SEC offices of Greg Sankey and getting their thoughts on potentially merging together and becoming one big super conference of the ACC and the SEC together. What would you call it?
Why don't we just merge everybody and just be the sports league, America Sports League? I mean, I don't know. Is that the AC-SEC or the SC-ACC?
I don't know.
Southeast Atlantic Coast.
I mean, I will say from a geographical standpoint, which we know doesn't matter anymore in college sports, a lot of teams in the ACC make a whole lot more sense than Texas and Oklahoma. That's for sure.
They do. Of course, now that we would have an opportunity for a little Boston College, Texas A&M action.
Really get after it.
So, yeah. You know, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what Jay's saying. Like, hey, everybody should be calling everybody right now and trying to broker something. I mean, and I don't know. I don't know how that would look. They are both ESPN, so that's the thing. Like the Big Ten, Pac-12 thing is they're basically, you know, their deals are primarily Fox,
right?
ACC, SEC, ESPN. So you could make it ESPN
League.
Sports League versus the Fox Sports League.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Make it a political thing. There you go. You could, you know, left, right. Let's have it all
just
out.
Just separate everything.
Know. Sure.
Well, I thought if Texas and Oklahoma come in, obviously we've talked about that's going to lead to responses from other leagues. But if you're the SEC, do you stop here? Like, do you look to continue to add at this point if you're Greg Sankey? I mean, this will be 16 teams at this point with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. That, to me, seems like more than enough, but do you keep going if you're Greg Sankey at this point? I don't know how I would feel about a merger with the ACC. And I look, honestly, like at this point, I don't know if I see the ACC doing that. Like, I can't envision in the next few weeks, like the ACC saying, all right, you know what? That's it. Pack it up. We're just going to become members of the SEC now. I don't anticipate that happening. But if you're the SEC, like, do you stop here? Do you keep going to 20? Like, could there be more on the horizon for Greg Sankey and the SEC?
I mean, I can't sit here and say I feel great about predicting anything, but it's already stretched so thin on the idea of people playing each other in quote-unquote a league, right?
Yeah.
And there was the thing one of you guys put in our text group, what is some Barstool slap who said, like, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Florida State, we're gonna be added. That's not happening, by the way. But did a call get made? Why not? I mean, if you think about the best brands you could possibly bring in, if you brought in Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, and Clemson, you could basically just say, this is it right here. Although, well, that's overvaluing Michigan. And if you really want to dig in on that, then you should, you know, bounce some of the lower end SEC teams and go get, like, Oregon, you know. But, hey, I don't know. I can't imagine from a competitive standpoint, from a logistical standpoint, and again, you are also splitting the money with more people, the more people you add, that it would go any more than this. This is the number that everyone has looked at. Power 5 has been 65 programs. You have 4 16s. I don't know if it goes to that, but if it does, here you go. SEC is good. They're done, and they are the best.
Yeah.
So I would think no. And the ACC, this is also gets into, because the ACC also has a little bit, kind of like the Big Ten, a little bit of this, we have a certain, you know, certain standard with our universities and blah, blah, blah. That stuff all gets pushed to the side when it comes to the difference between, you know, a couple hundred million dollars more each year or less, you know.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, do you think it's just a coincidence that Tennessee hired Josh Heupel and then Oklahoma joined the conference, or could it be that they knew this was going to happen? You think a little.
That one was so dumb. I muted myself. What?
Do you think that Tennessee knew?
Yes.
That Oklahoma was coming, and now they've gotten some inside info from Josh Heupel.
Totally, bro. Tennessee knew all along. No. Who is this?
There's no name.
All right. Tell us your name. I want to shame you on the air.
Look, they've been talking about it for 6 months. Apparently,
that's true. That's true. That's right. Maybe
what that would mean for Josh Heupel, but I mean, he did used to play there and coach there.
He knows Oklahoma inside out. He knows Norman, Oklahoma so well, and he's about to get bludgeoned by guys who used to play for Tennessee.
That is true. They do have a few of those floating around in Oklahoma as well. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Aaron texting in. Let's just make the SEC the premier league of college football and relegate/promote each year. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm.
You can get dropped out of the SEC. Relegation.
And relegated to what league then?
I don't know.
Like where?
What's the second tier league?
Well, other leagues have to agree, you know, to be able to house teams that go up or down. So, yeah, what would be the OVC? You get relegated to the OVC?
Maybe.
I mean, like OVC is
Big 12?
It's an FCS league. Yeah. Big 12.
Just put them back in the Big 12.
If it existed. Yeah. AAC. Maybe the AAC. Maybe Memphis does so well that they come up and take an SEC spot and Vanderbilt has to go back to the AAC. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe so.
I think the relegation.
Relegation should happen in more sports.
I love it. It's fascinating. Probably easier to do in like pro leagues.
Yeah.
But I'm here for that.
Raymond texting in, is there a model for a 32-team football league that they could follow? As this what happens, there is a model for a 32-team football league. don't know if you want to follow that one.
Well, I mean, you could just hand select. So Jared and Caroline did this and went through what, you know, let's name the programs that you think in the next 10 years like are relevant enough to potentially, like, you know, get to a playoff.
Yeah.
Right? And it was a right around that number.
Yeah.
So, hey, NFL light, everybody else fade away. All these opportunities for kids to play football fade away. Fans fade away.
Yeah.
But sure, there's money. There's TV. There's streaming.
Ron texts again on the merger of the SEC and the ACC, calling it the SACC. You can call it the SAC.
The SAC? Got to sack up and try to win this league.
Very you imagine nice. Alabama. Nice. Here's your SAC champion, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, boy. So many possibilities.
There are. I mean, college football is a rapidly evolving landscape. That's the new go-to phrase. They put that in the West Virginia statement as well that they come out with on their website. You know, in the ever-evolving landscape that is college athletics,
yeah.
That's the new go-to phrase.
Yeah.
So when you see a team or a program release a statement and put that in there, that's basically their way of saying, you know, yeah, this could change. We might end up at a different conference.
Hey, check us out, though, everybody.
Yeah. I do want to get your thoughts on this real quickly before we get to Nicole coming up here in a couple of minutes. You know, Madden 22 is out, or is about to come out, and the ratings have been released. And we talked about yesterday the wide receivers. The edge rushers have come out, and J.J. Watt is at number 5, a 94 overall. There's Myles Garrett, Khalil Mack, T.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, and J.J. Watt, your top 5. Guys outside of the top 5, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Za'Darius Smith, Von Miller, and Cameron Jordan. J.J. Watt, top five.
All of whom are absolutely flat out better than J.J. Watt. Now.
Number 5.
Okay, how far does it go?
I just see the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
Bud Dupree's not on there either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the next 5, you'd be like, better than J.J., better than J.J. Hey, prove me wrong, J.J.
That mugshot coming to town.
I mean, I'm sure there are other examples like this where you've got a great player, great career, Hall of Famer at the end who gets too much respect.
A lot of love for J.J. Watt.
But that's pretty extreme.
Could have been a Titan. Didn't work out.
I mean, if they had Brady and J.J. right now, just imagine.
When we come back, we will be joined by Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. We'll get into the ever-changing college football landscape with her as well. Get her thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma potentially coming to the SEC. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the ever-changing landscape of college sports. Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12. Apparently coming to the SEC. And to help us talk about that and more, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. Nicole, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, hanging in there. It's been a crazier week than I was anticipating. You thought it was going to be closer to a normal preseason, but college football had other ideas.
I would say so. Very, very different ideas on that front. So let's just start with Texas and Oklahoma, your initial reaction to them announcing that they would be leaving the Big 12, and what do you think about the potential acquisition of Oklahoma and Texas by the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still a little surprised. It was something that wasn't on my radar, wasn't on a lot of people's radar. Took a lot of people by real surprise in this world, especially a lot of people in the Big 12, and I'm still processing it. I mean, I've never been a proponent of mega conferences. So, you know, kind of thinking about those programs being associated with the SEC and a 16-member conference is still something I got to work through. But I think it's going to be very interesting in terms of the future of college sports and what this impacts, you know, the other power conferences and if the Big 12 stays together. And it's just a lot of dominoes that could potentially fall. So, as much as I don't like mega conferences, we're here, we're in that world, and we'll see what the other leagues end up doing to either match it or stay put.
In processing it, Nicole, do you have concerns about long-term, the sport, 10 years, 20 years, the fan reaction to this, the loss of a lot of tradition and just common sense in the pursuit of money?
Yeah, I think there's definitely that sentiment. I think that a lot of people have that whenever realignment happens. Although, you know, in this case, you do get one rivalry game back, but usually you lose a lot of what got us into college sports and got us into college football is those things that make it unique, the campuses, the traditions, the pageantry, the rivalries. You know, I think one of the major bummers about the last round of realignment was when you extend these conferences into different time zones and different states, it makes it harder on fans to be able to go to games, to be able to go to road games, makes it more expensive. And so, you know, those are all things that I think have been really frustrating for fans and those of us who love these sports and love the uniqueness of it, didn't want it to become pro sports, didn't want it to be, you know, driven only by decisions about money. Whereas when you think about it, college sports is a very weird business model. Basically, you're running football and you're running the March Madness men's basketball tournament to subsidize everything else. And it's important to a lot of people in and out, even fans too, that there are all those sports offered, that there are all these opportunities. And I think, you know, to make a decision that is about money and, you know, financial security and the idea of, you know, adding more, you know, big name programs and blue bloods to a conference that already has a bunch of them, it's not going to help the rest of the sport. It's not going to help college football nationally. And I think that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people inside college sports and then a lot of fans of basically everybody else. And I also think there's a lot of fan bases within the SEC that aren't necessarily thrilled by this.
Nicole, so what do you think happens from here with the Big 12? Because as you pointed out on Twitter this morning, West Virginia has come out with a statement, and after you get through, you know, the obligatory, we're disappointed in what's happened with Texas and Oklahoma part of the statement, as you pointed out, it basically reads like a job interview at that point, and it looks like West Virginia is positioning themselves to maybe be swooped up by another league. What do you think of the future of the Big 12? Is it essentially done at this point? Where do you think things go from here with that league?
Well, it's too soon to predict, I think, because, you know, they're saying all the right stuff publicly about sticking together. And again, these eight schools are still a Power Five league. There is no requirement to have Oklahoma and Texas, no requirement to have a minimum number of schools. So there is still advantages to staying and trying to be aggressive and add teams from the AAC. Meanwhile, the AAC might try to add those teams, right? Like, there's going to be, you know, a lot of attempts to poach back and forth with those groups of schools. But I just think, you know, it's we don't know if they're going to end up sticking together. We don't know if they're going to start acting in their own best self-interest, because we've seen this in conference realignment in the past. Just a panic. Nobody wants to be the only person not doing anything. Nobody wants to be the last one left behind. So you see people panic and make decisions where I think, you know, when you talk to people in other leagues, in other Power Five leagues right now, they're preaching patience in their own conferences because you don't have to act. A lot of these other leagues don't have to do anything. Those eight schools could very well stay and things would stabilize if they do that. But we know that that's not how people operate here. Everyone's just so terrified of being left behind. So you are going to have those conversations about, would the Pac-12 be interested in a block of the Big 12 schools? And, you know, West Virginia, is their preferred destination would be the ACC. It would make a ton of sense on their side. Is the ACC interested? Would there be enough value added there? Is the ACC going to have yet another conversation with Notre Dame? And Notre Dame going to say, hey, we prefer independence. We're good. Like, all of those pieces are going to be checked out, even if there's not moves. So I just think it's too hard to know about the Big 12 schools, you know, if they're going to stay as a standalone conference. Because it depends who you talk to. A lot of people are like, nope, they'll stay. They'll be their own league, maybe add some teams. And then you have other people saying the Pac-12 really needs to try to get into Texas, et cetera, et cetera. So right now it's a lot of speculation because this took so many people by surprise last week that I think people in other leagues are still processing what opportunities might be there.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the Big Ten with that, Nicole. Look, they could go out and add whoever, pick a couple teams that maybe make sense in a few different ways, and then you're adding a couple schools who now you're dividing the money up more ways. I don't know what you're really doing other than, I guess, getting to 16, if that's what it's going to be at some point. But as someone who knows the Big Ten well, what is the mindset there as far as you know? And what did you think about we know our colleague Andy Staples always comes up with these off-the-wall ideas, but I guess that's what college sports is. Off-the-wall ideas happen now. The Pac-20 or Big 20 or whatever, you know, the Big Ten and Pac-12 having some kind of alliance out of this. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are going to throw out a lot of, you know, interesting ideas that I do think the ideas of alliances more so than mergers might be pursued, or at least, you know, the ideas that these conferences do need to act accordingly or in concert with each other. You know, especially if the SEC is kind of refortifying itself in the Southeast. I mean, you're going to have to think about that stuff if you're the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC, and you don't want to literally add bodies, because what you're describing is adding bodies but not value necessarily. Like, you're going to need to, if you're adding to the Big Ten, you know, those schools that you're adding, because you're going to divide it more ways, like, they're going to have to bring in $50 million a year, right? Like, you're going to have to be adding something that makes it worthwhile. And I don't know if there is that in the leftover Big 12 schools. I mean, think about, if you're the Big 10, aren't all the schools that you would really want Notre Dame and or in the ACC or the Pac-12 already, right? Like, I don't know if it's in that pool of schools from the Big 12 when you look at it from a value standpoint.
Right. No, exactly. Right. So it's so, I mean, I know that we've already made geography irrelevant, basically, but you're talking some serious stretches there. What about Greg Sankey, Nicole? First of all, you look at this whole picture, and I think the 12-team push made sense anyway for the SEC, as he pointed out. I mean, other people are getting more opportunities. He wants more opportunities for his league, but I can't help but look at it and think, man, what a diabolical undertaking for Greg Sankey over the last few months. And, I mean, Bob Bowlesby standing there and saying, I love this guy. He's just great. And we, you know, I'm not worried about realignment. How is Greg Sankey regarded right now in the industry?
Yeah, I think there are people throughout the country that don't love how this all went down. I think, you know, I'm with you that the 12-team model made a lot of sense, and I liked it the more time I spent with it. But now you've got to, like, look back on it and think about it. Okay, well, when did these conversations start? You know, how much did this play into it? The fact that Oklahoma and Texas, you know, knew that it was going to be that size and that format? Because I don't know. Do you make that move if it's only four? Probably not.
No way.
You would have a much better path getting in from the Big 12, right? So, and then at that point, like, the SEC probably, I mean, I think you always take the call if Oklahoma and Texas are interested in something. But, you know, how interested are they without a 12-team playoff, right? Like, there's all these dynamics here, and only four people were involved in the creation of this thing. So if I'm a football bowl division, subdivision commissioner that wasn't part of that working group, or even was, right? Like, the other two, you know, Jack Swarbrick was in that room, and Craig Thompson was in that room. I look back at everything and go, what's this above board? What's this in the best interest of the playoff and the sport, right? Like, I think there's going to have to be some conversations about that, and I don't know if you can go to this playoff as soon as people were hoping, you know, in 2023, if you don't even know when the Pac, you know, when Oklahoma and Texas are going to be in the SEC, and if there's more moving pieces, right? So I think there's definitely a lot of people who are uncomfortable about the way that it went down. Not to say that college sports is always collegial and above board, because no one's saying that, but I think without the playoff expansion piece and the working group, I think it hits a little bit differently. But the idea that something was in the works over a period of, you know, a year plus, 2 years, and this was happening in the background involving two of the people directly involved, and one of them was blindsided, I think is a tough pill to swallow for other people in college sports. Because, again, you know, the SEC already has so much power. It already has all these things. It was on the working group. It got to drive playoff expansion. And then you throw this in there, and you're just like, you know, were they just acting in their self-interest the whole time and not what's best for college football? And so I think you'll probably hear people maybe talking about those AQ spots. There aren't AQs in the way that it's formatted. You know, we don't know what time or what year the playoff would be implemented. Like, some of those questions I could see other people raising publicly. They're certainly raising them privately.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nicole, last thing for you here. The grant of rights, grant of media rights agreement between the Big 12 and Texas and Oklahoma runs through 2025. There's no way they're hanging around to 2025, right? And enduring all this awkwardness, how quickly do you think this could move with Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC?
Yeah, it's really hard to imagine like 4 years of a lame duck situation. It's already awkward when we've seen conference realignment and schools have had to be in that league for like one final year, right? Like we've seen how awkward that could be. So you've got to think that, you know, the lawyers will get involved. This is going to be very expensive for Texas and Oklahoma unless, you know, the rest of the league disintegrates and people try to get out of the grant of rights as well. But yeah, I mean, you talk to anyone and I understand that Texas and Oklahoma are saying that they're prepared to wait this out and they're doing what they have to do from a legal perspective to not break the contract. But like, there's no way. You can't imagine people being, you know, it's basically like you get divorced, but you're going to, you know, live together and do everything together for four more years. People don't do that. So, you know, I expect that it would end up being a very expensive departure, but it's got to be before 2025.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, does a great job covering college sports for The Athletic. Nicole, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. Nicole Auerbach, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Nicole threw out there. Take your thoughts as well on college football expansion on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Sunday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment and discussing college football expansion and expansion in college athletics with Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC maybe as soon as next year. That seems to be the speculation that's out there right now. And Joe, to Nicole's point, like I can't imagine them just hanging around to the end of 2025 when this grant of media rights deal expires with the Big 12. That's not going to be good for anybody involved. Now, legally, as Nicole pointed out, Texas and Oklahoma are saying all the right things and that they're prepared to be in the Big 12 till 2025. But when the lawyers get involved and you start talking about the money as well, I have a difficult time imagining that this is not taken care of pretty quickly. And as I pointed out earlier in the show, the speculation seems to be right now that Texas and Oklahoma could be in the SEC as soon as next year. So it could be talking about college football with Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC in 2022.
That'd be my prediction. And that includes the, like Nicole mentioned, the awkward year of 21 this year.
Yeah.
Farewell, everybody. Oklahoma State's president, by the way. See that statement?
I did not.
Yeah. That's some pretty scathing, some pretty good stuff. Basically, to summarize, you know, here at Oklahoma State, we actually care about the welfare of our state that we're in, unlike some other universities in this state.
Yes.
That was a pretty pretty scathing statement. A lot of statements being put out, a lot of threats of, you know, legislative action that won't actually do anything.
Right.
But, yeah, I can't imagine. They'll pay heavily. And I think it will be. I think it'll be Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC in 2022. They got plenty of time to figure that out. I think is it Georgia, Texas? Is that right? There's already a series, I think.
Yeah.
During that time frame. So, hey, find a way to make that. There's one of your conference games. There you go. You know, they don't have to be in a pod, but that can be one of the teams that play. So that's interesting, actually, from like a contractual standpoint, you know, making that a conference game. But I think there's another one too that's like a Big 12 SEC series that now would just become a conference game. Oklahoma somebody.
Well, I think it may be Oklahoma Tennessee.
That's true. That's right. The return trip to Norman didn't happen last year. So
right.
There's one. Yeah. So I can't believe it would be.
They're
any
set
later
to meet
than
now in 2024 in
Perfect.
Knoxville.
Perfect. In Knoxville.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be last year in Norman, right?
And they've already had one meeting in Knoxville.
Right. Was this a two and two? They had one in Oklahoma,
too.
So they went to Oklahoma in like 2014 or 15. Then the next year, Oklahoma came to Knoxville.
Okay, so it was a two and two. Okay, so there you go. Make it a conference game. Congrats, Tennessee. Your conference schedule, we know now, will include Oklahoma soon. But you already had them coming in, so why not?
Just put it in there anyway.
Do you change the date? Or does it just stay the same date? I assume it's an early season date, right?
It was supposed to be September the 7th, 2024.
I mean, conference games can happen in September.
Sure.
There you go. No, I can't imagine, whatever the cost is, that it wouldn't happen. Because, again, I mean, you know, these schools can try to keep it together in the Big 12 and, like, let's just make as much money as we can make before it all ends. But they've got to try to figure out where they're going or what they're doing. Maybe they'll be able to keep it together. That's, you know, but either they're going to gobble some other teams up or be gobbled. Everybody's just got to move on with their lives now.
Ryan Porth texting in. Alabama and Texas, a home and home in 2022 and 23.
There you go.
Alabama, Oklahoma, home and home 2032 and 33.
Oh, good. Now, well, Saban will.
Scheduled in 2033.
By then, Saban's hair will be jet black. He'll just be openly sucking the blood of, you know, opponents. That's probably like Butch Jones was on his staff, just so he could, like, get blood out of his neck.
I think so. That's what the real duties of the internship were.
He looked a little woozy on the sideline
this
time.
I guess so.
He wasn't saying much to people. But he did.
He does well at Arkansas State this year, by the way.
Yeah, he did have those victory cigars ready for beating Tennessee.
Who knows? Maybe Arkansas State at this point could be the next logical member of the Big 12. Maybe Butch Jones is about to get that Power 5 job back.
Ooh, wow.
It's all a part of an elaborate scheme.
And did he know, just like
Heupel.
Tennessee has known all along, you know? But that's, you know, the thing Nicole was talking about last segment. I mean, the Sankey thing here is interesting. And I'm sure there's a certain level of, hey, we're all out here trying to win, and he won. So tip of the cap. But it is fascinating to think of a lot of these discussions and working on this playoff. And, again, making the case that absolutely still makes sense for the SEC without this. And he's right. You know, if you're going to expand and all we're doing is we're making auto bids and now we're going to make sure we have an automatic qualifier and all this stuff, what does that do for me? But then if you think about this and the time frame and everything, whew, Gordon Gekko, baby.
Greg Sankey, he's a coy guy in all this.
He's a smart guy.
He's smart.
I mean, look, it's one of those things where if you're an SEC school, I mean, you have to be happy with Greg Sankey leading your conference. He's winning.
Unless you're Texas A&M.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Will Texas A&M, will they fall in line and, like, vote for this just to be collegial with the SEC? I hope not.
I don't think so.
I hope they still vote. I hope they are the one and that the one is drawn up as a middle finger. You know, you may as well just see it all the way through and express your displeasure and then quietly enjoy the money you're making in the SEC.
Ryan Porth texting back in. Oklahoma LSU 2027 and 28 and Oklahoma Georgia in 2023 and 2032. Ryan Porth, can you look up the Vanderbilt-Oklahoma series in 2049?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Does that exist?
Good for Oklahoma, by the way, for like scheduling the way they are, right?
Yeah. Lincoln Riley ain't afraid.
He will be.
He's about to really.
He will be.
We're about to see. Oh, Oklahoma. Hey, if you're Tennessee, though, the last time that they came to Neyland, you almost got him.
Well, yeah, Butch kind of
screwed it up.
Bungled that one away, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to the chart.
Yeah, my gosh.
The infamous chart. Have a 250-pound running back that's unstoppable going forward for a yard, and you kick a field goal. It's good stuff.
There were warning signs, weren't there?
Yes, there were. There were many warning signs. What was that, 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that one. That was the first edition of the checkerboard in Neyland, which, by the way, they're thinking about, apparently.
Oh, there in the stands.
In the stands, yes. Right. Not the end zone.
Yeah.
In the stands. But there's some conversation about doing the checker Neyland for the game against Bowling Green.
Is that right?
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
I mean, will they have enough, like, will enough people want to be at that game? I mean, to be able to checker it?
Maybe one of the few wins that you see.
Yeah. I mean, it's prime
time. First
game
of Josh Heupel.
It's the first game of a new era.
Yeah.
Prime time. It's a season opener. They'll be back. Yeah, so it used to be that though that would be reserved for, like, a big game.
Well, the first time I ever saw it happen was, I think, the Oklahoma game
which
in 2015.
They've done it, I think, for Florida for sure. Yeah,
I don't know that they've won a game while doing it.
But that's a good point. By the way, did you see who Alabama's homecoming opponent is?
Oh, I did. Alabama, their homecoming opponent this year, the University of Tennessee. Isn't that a slap in the face? That kind of tells you where that rivalry is right now.
May not be the last time.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially if you got Texas and Oklahoma coming
right.
in.
Everybody's moving down. I mean, it may be, like, that may be one of your best options.
Like, if you told a Tennessee fan in 2004 that one day Alabama's homecoming opponent was going to be Tennessee, what do you think the reaction would be?
Well, they'd be shocked, but then don't tell them why and what all has gone on since then, because
yes.
it'd be even worse.
Yes, it would. Nick Saban. I continue to remind people, I was there the last time Tennessee beat Alabama, in person, in the building. I was 14.
And again,
that was 2006.
Okay, six.
The year before Nick Saban. Mike Shula, head coach of Alabama.
I mean, look, the thing is, Alabama is actually your reason for hope, right? They went through a decade of absolute just stumbling all over themselves. Didn't matter that they were Alabama, Bear Bryant, that didn't matter. All their tradition, history, facilities, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's what you say to yourself if you're a Tennessee fan. They went through a long time of trying to figure it out.
They did.
The question is, can you figure it out?
We're going to have Trey Wallace on later in the show at 8:30 from Rocky Top Insider. We'll get into the Vols a little bit coming up with Trey Wallace at 8:30, get his thoughts on expansion in the SEC as well. So looking forward to that coming up next hour. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, ask Porth about that Reds game last night and Baez. Chicago Cubs with a walk-off winner last night against the Reds. And Javi Baez did the row the boat celebration on the walk-off home run. It was quite something.
Porth is angrily shaking his head.
Yes, I'm sure that he is. I'm glad somebody on the text line felt that appropriate to share with Porth.
Good job.
Way to go. A little bit of trash talk. We're about that here on the show. When we come back, David Poyle joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and had some interesting comments about the Predators as they position themselves for free agency, which begins tomorrow in the NHL. We'll get into those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.